This quarter's theme is Living Out Our Faith, a study of the life of Daniel. And the topic of today's sermon is Reverence of God. We welcome our speaker, our very own Uncle Eddie Atumoyogo, to share the word. We look forward to learning more about this aspect of our quarter's theme. Uncle Eddie, you're welcome.
Hello, VFC. Are we winning? Are we winning? You know, a lot is going on in our country, but we must remember the word of the Lord. They that know their God shall be what? Strong and do great exploits. We have been studying the life of Daniel, very strong in the Lord. And this morning, we'll be sharing on reverencing the Lord, reverence of God. Shall we pray? Father, we'll just give you praise this morning. We exalt and magnify your holy name. You are God and God alone, and all powers belong unto you. There is no other God besides thee. We have come to share your word this morning. Your word that brings life, that brings light. Your word that is powerful, that can pierce to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, and is a discerner of the intents and thoughts of every heart. As your word comes this morning, Father, let your power come. As your word comes this morning, let your joy fill the hearts of your people. As your word comes this morning, let revelation knowledge come. Let wisdom come. Let guidance come. And let your name alone be glorified. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. So the passage that was read to us this morning, it's a well-known Bible story. You know, something we have always known from primary school. From the days of BK. How many of us remember BK? Bible knowledge. And then we moved on to secondary school. It became ROK. Praise God. Religious knowledge. And the Gen Z don't know about this anyway. But now it's what? They call it CROK. Christian religious knowledge. And if we can't remember anything, we can remember Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. Praise God. And it's a true life story. These things happened in the modern day Iraq. You know, Babylon was in the modern day Iraq. That's where Nebuchadnezzar established his kingdom. And Belshazzar, that we just read this morning, was reigning as a king in Babylon. And he had a battle with Cyrus, the king of Persia. You know, Cyrus belongs to the modern-day Kurdish people. You know, it's an ethnic group in Iran. So the war immediately is did not start today. Praise God. It's been going on. And it's only God that knows when it will stop. Every president of the United States that comes tries to intervene in the war that is going on in the Middle East. But none has been able to find a solution. But one day, God will end all wars in Jesus' name. So this king had war in his hands. 2 years before this thing happened, he faced Cyrus in a battle. And Cyrus defeated his army. And they all scattered. But what they did was they retreated back to the city. And they used the river Euphrates as a bulwark to prevent their enemies coming in. And they also had like 20 years of provision. You know, because the war strategy in those days is, when a powerful enemy comes against you, they lay a siege. A siege is like a blockade so that no food will come in and no food will go out. They wait for you until you exhaust all your provision. And when you are dying of hunger, you will now come out and they begin to catch everybody one by one. Praise God. But this king had 20 years of provision. So something was feeding his pride. He knew that he was safe in the city. At least for 20 years, there was just no way that Cyrus could do anything to him. The river Euphrates was there to prevent him from coming, and there was food enough, water enough, all that he needed to survive for the next 20 years. Praise the name of the Lord. So he was just feeling so cool with himself. And I said, let us party. Drink all manner of drinks. And when he got drunk, he said, go and bring out the vessels in the house of the Lord. Praise God. Praise the name of the Lord. And so he now desecrated the dedicated things of God. And God had to show up. But this morning, we're going to put the focus on ourselves. Amen? Amen? We use the word of God as a mirror. You know what a mirror does? A mirror does not judge anybody. Praise the name of the Lord. When you look at a mirror, what do you see? You see yourself. And then when you see yourself, you do what? You make adjustments. And the level of adjustment depends on the gender. Praise God. For the men, it's simple. We use the mirror to shave and maybe put on powder, tie, and move on. Praise God. But our sisters are the ones that know how to use mirror. Praise God. They call it dressing what? Dressing mirror. Dressing cabinet. Praise God. And when they look in that mirror, they prove indeed that Jesus is coming for a church without spots and wrinkles. Praise God. So we can learn one or two things from them, you know. No matter how beautiful they look, when they look in the mirror, the first thing they rub on their face is what? What do they rub? They call it foundation. Praise God. So they lay a foundation. Well, I grew up with about four sisters, so I know what I'm talking about. They lay the foundation. Just like when you come to the Word of God, when you come to Christ, you have to lay that foundation. Christ must be the foundation. Praise God. So, our sisters, whenever you're in front of that mirror, you're preaching the Word. Amen? They lay the foundation. And God help you if there's any wrinkle or spots. Praise God. They put what they call it, is it eyeshadow or something? And there's another one they used to comb their eyelids. Praise the name of the Lord. So this morning I have synthesized about three questions for us to use as a mirror. And these questions we need to answer if we want to reverence the Lord. The first question is, how far do you want to go with God? How far do you want to go with God? That's what the first question we have to answer. And the second is, what is your testimony before men? What is your testimony before men? And the third one is a tough one. Amen? How will you weigh on God's scale? It's easy for us to say, oh, he was found wanting. When God puts you on his scale, how will you weigh? Praise God. We must have to answer the first question, which is, how far do you want to go with God? And I read Psalm 25 from 12 to 14. This is a good news Bible. It says, those who have reverence for the Lord will learn from him the path they should follow. They will always be prosperous, and their children will possess the land. The Lord is the friend of those who obey him. Praise God. So reverence for God is an attitude of deep respect, love, and awe of God. So it's not a tormenting fear. It's a fear that is mixed with love. Amen? It's like you love him, but you're also afraid of him. Not a tormenting fear, not a fear that torments, but a fear that can draw you closer and closer unto him. You know, as we're all starting here, as we're all sitting here, every one of us have made up our minds how far we want to go with God. Praise God. We may not say it, but it's deep in our hearts. That's why you hear people saying, my Christianity has not reached that level. Praise God. Praise the name of the Lord. Everyone, without exception, even in Daniel, we are reading about, in Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, the Bible said he purposed in his heart that he will not defile himself. He had made up his mind that he will reverence God, that his priority is to hold God in awe. Amen? And in Daniel chapter 3, from 16, you also see Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They told Nebuchadnezzar that we will not bow. The Lord that we serve is able to deliver us. Even if he's not able to deliver us, we will not bow. Praise the name of the Lord. So, this issue of reverence is an attitude of the heart. It starts from the heart. It starts from the heart. I remember one time I was, some strange things were happening around my business and all that. I didn't know that it was God trying to promote me in the business. And I was just praying and praying. And one night I had a dream, and God was saying, move closer to me. And in that dream I was replying God. I said, I have already moved closer, but you have people like Adeboye, you have Oyedepo, you know, they're already much, much closer to you. Let me just continue to serve you. Praise the name of the Lord. And it was like I had made up my mind that I don't want to go how deep Adeboye and Oyedepo had gone, unconsciously. So when I woke up, I just began to repent before the Lord. I began to tell him that I'm ready to serve him anyhow and anywhere he sends. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. So it's a decision every one of us have to make. And we have the power to determine how close we are unto God. James chapter 4 verse 8 says, draw near to God and he will do what? He will draw near to you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Praise God. So we see the case of Belshazzar, who was the king. And we see the irreverence that he showed towards God. His grandfather, Nebuchadnezzar, first walked in irreverence, and God disciplined him. And Belshazzar knew, because if you read the reply of Daniel, Daniel said, you knew what your grandfather went through. He knew that the grandfather walked in irreverence, and God disciplined him, and he learned reverence through the things he suffered. May that not be a portion in Jesus' name. May we willingly revere the Lord. May we not be punished into reverence in the name of Jesus. And so he decided to challenge God. Not only was he living a loose life, he called for the dedicated things of God and desecrated the vessels of God. And God did not reply him with thunder or earthquake or fire. God sent a hand. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. A hand that wrote plain words, mene, mene, tekel, ophasin. In English, number, number, way, division. Praise God. You know, I asked my dear wife to tell me that in Yoruba language. And she could only say the last one, division. Say, is it me or it me? To divide. She was giving me Lagos Yoruba. But she was able to say the last one, which is free. Praise God. So I asked AI, what is number in Yoruba? AI mentioned it. What is way in Yoruba? AI mentioned it. What is division in Yoruba? AI mentioned it. And I said, what is number in Igbo language? He said, I'm yet to learn Igbo language. Praise God. So I was waiting for AI to lie, because I know what it means in Igbo language. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. So these are plain words, but a combination. The combination was an enigma. Plain words. Number, way, division. What can you make out of that? Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. And so the people that were drunk all of a sudden became sober. You know, I was thinking that when people are drunk, they can just do anything. Amen? Amen? Nothing will hurt them. They are so bold. But they saw something more than drunkenness. Praise the name of the Lord. The unknown God showed up. Amen? And wrote things that were unknown to men, but known to God. Praise the name of the Lord. So the strong man became a weak man. The drunk people became very sober. Amen? The man that was full of pride was now full of humility. Praise the name of the Lord. There was great astonishment. But who can unravel this mystery? Praise the name of the Lord. But thank God there was a woman in that kingdom who did not join in the drunkenness and the wild parties and celebration. God will always have some people in the midst of his people who are sober. Amen? Who know the way of the Lord. Who will guide the people of God on the path that they should walk. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Belshazzar knew what happened to his grandfather. You know, but one thing is with the human mind is that we can always forget the good things. The human mind can always forget the good things, but they will never forget the evil ones. Those ones, they will mark it on the wall and they will always remember. But if it's a good thing, the human mind can easily forget. But this woman never forgot. Amen? Amen? And she did not also despise the wisdom of Daniel. Just like we mentioned in the Sunday school, Daniel was a slave. But because of the grace of God upon his life, the woman recognized the grace of God upon Daniel's life and the wisdom that God had given unto him. Amen? Now, think for a moment. Think for a moment. What God did to Belshazzar because he desecrated dedicated things of God. Articles of silver and of gold. Now think also what God can do when the heathen try to despise and desecrate a dedicated child of God. Amen? And we see it in the life of Daniel. He was thrown into the lion's den, and the lions became mockafum for him. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. And the three Hebrew children were thrown into the fire. And God showed up. And nothing happened to them. So as children of God, we should appreciate the grace of God upon our lives. And that God loves us. He says, even the hair on our head, they are numbered. Not even one can fall to the ground without his knowledge. Praise the name of the Lord. So we are not cheap. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Now the second question is, what is your testimony before men? Because no matter how long we live here on earth, our life story can be just described with one sentence. One sentence. No matter what you do on earth, one sentence. Men will describe your life with one sentence. You know, I remember when I did my industrial training years back, 1983. It's a British firm in Nigeria here. There was one engineer there. He was a senior. Every morning by 7 a.m., he would be in the office. And the day the British partner was trying to introduce us to him, he's late now, he's late. He said, "This is Soji Dina. He is a paragon of punctuality." Praise the name of the Lord. Paragon of punctuality. How will men describe you? Praise God. Praise the name of the Lord. Even Jesus in Matthew 16:13 told his disciples, "What do men say that I, the Son of Man, I am?" We should be interested in the testimony that we carry about. As we're moving around, there is a testimony. Praise God. Some have good testimonies. Some have no good testimonies. Once their name comes out, people begin to do hand like this, which means they can't place him. It's neither here nor there. May that not be your portion in Jesus' name. Praise the name of the Lord. Look at the testimony of Daniel from verse 11 to 12. He said, "In whom is the Spirit of God? In whom is the Spirit of God? He has light and understanding and wisdom. He has excellent spirits, dissolving doubts." Praise the name of the Lord. What a testimony for this child of God. By the time this testimony was given, Daniel was in his 90s. So he was old and still relevant. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. It's not that we should live our lives based on what people say, but we must have a good testimony. At home, good testimony. In the marketplace, good testimony. In the office, good testimony. In the church, good testimony. In the community, good testimony. Praise the name of the Lord. Because it's the testimony of our lives that will draw others unto the Lord. And I pray that we all have good testimonies in the mighty name of Jesus. The last question that we have to answer is, how will you weigh on God's scale? We all know what a scale is. You have two pans with a bar, and there's a knife edge at the middle. You know, the type that will have the statue of, is it justice? Statue of what? Not liberty. That woman that holds the scale on her hand. Yeah, statue of justice. The type that she holds in her hand. Praise God. A balanced scale. Even though the Nigerian judiciary have made it something else. We don't know. We'll have to change their own statue. Amen. But thank God, as children of God begin to occupy such offices, justice will be restored in our land. Equal way to begin to balance again. Amen. So you have two pans and you have a lever. And on each side of the lever, on one side of the lever, you place the weights. And on the other side, you place that thing that had to be weighed. If the scale balances, then that's good. If the weights are equal, the bar will be level, and that means it is balanced. But if the weights are not equal, if the weight is greater than what the object to be weighed, that object has been found to be wanting. So what God was saying was that Belshazzar had been put in the scale, but the scale had tilted. Which means that Belshazzar weighed nothing before the Lord. Praise God. Praise the name of the Lord. What is in the scale of the Lord? God has only two weights on his own side of the scale. Two weights. And we can find that in Luke chapter 10, verse 25 to 27, where a lawyer came to test the Lord, and I read, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' He said to him, 'What is written in the law? What is your reading of it?' So he answered and said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Praise God. So God has only two weights on his own side of the scale. Love the Lord, love the Lord your God with what? All your heart. All your soul. All your mind. And all your strength. Praise God. That's the first weight. And the second one is very short. And your neighbor as yourself. Praise God. Praise the name of the Lord. These are the two weights. So when they put you on the other side of the scale, what is your weight? Is it balanced? Amen? Or are you found wanting? Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. This is a true reverence of God. When you can walk in his fear, so that you worship him with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength, and also love your neighbor as yourself. Praise God. But the truth is that there is no man born of woman walking in their own strength that can fulfill these two commands. Amen? Amen? And that's why the Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. No man walking in his own strength. Amen? But the scale got balanced the day you gave your life to Jesus. And Jesus entered your own side of the scale. Amen? Amen? It's Jesus that has balanced the scale. But having balanced the scale and given us the Holy Spirit, you are the one that determines whether the scale tilts again or the scale remains balanced. As you walk in the Spirit, as you walk in faith, as you walk in reverence and fear of the Lord, that scale will remain balanced. Amen? I begin to enjoy the goodness and the mercies and the grace of our Lord and our Savior. Praise the name of the Lord. That Jesus entered your scale and gave you of his Spirit does not mean that his scale will not tilt if you begin to walk in disobedience and begin to walk in your own ways rather than the ways of the Lord. And we'll see a typical example if you read 1 Samuel chapter 6 all the way down to 2 Samuel chapter 6. You read the case of the Ark of God. You know, how the Philistines captured, because the Ark of God represents the presence of God. Just like the Holy Spirit is in our lives. The Ark of God then represented the presence of God. And the Philistines captured the Ark of God, but they didn't know how to handle God. So we need to know how to handle the presence of God. Praise the name of the Lord. And God dealt with them. And God began to deal with all their gods. They were moving from city to city. And God was just dealing with their gods. Some of them, they cut off their hair. Some of them, they cut off their feet, cut off their hands, until they were terrified. Praise God. Then I said, let's send away the Ark of God. Let's send away the presence of God, because we do not know how to handle it. And they sent it to Israel. It came to a place they called Beth-Shemesh. Those ones did not also know how to handle the Ark of God. The Philistines have put the Ark of God on a cart, and the Ark of God just moved in the direction they wanted. But God had commanded the children of Israel that you must what? Bear the ark. Not cart the ark. Because God wants to feel. That's why I say you have to worship him with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength. Say, bear the ark. I want to feel you. But the Philistines, who didn't know how to handle the presence of God, they put the ark on a cart. They carted the ark, and the ark moved into the land of Israel. Those ones removed the ark, put it on a stone, and began to peep. And God killed 50,070 of them. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. And they called the next city, Kirjathaim. The ark of God is here, come and carry. Amen? But those ones knew how to handle the ark of God. And the ark of God remained in that city for about 20 years until David heard that the ark of God was in Israel. David now prepared his people and wanted to move the presence of God, the ark of God, into the city of David. But instead of telling men how God had commanded that his presence should be handled, how God had commanded that he should be reverenced, to bear the ark, they carted the ark, and God was angry with them. If the heathen do not know how to handle me, you, my people, should know how to handle me. So David and his team were dancing and shouting and praising and enjoying themselves, but God was very angry. Amen? Amen? And when God moved the oxen, just to show a bit of his anger, somebody reached out his hand to just steady the ark from falling. And what happened? Instant death. Praise God. Praise the name of the Lord. So that Jesus is in our lives, the Holy Spirit is in our lives, we need to know how to reverence the Lord. And they moved the ark into the house of Obed-Edom, a man who knew how to handle the presence of God. A man who knew how to reverence the name of the Lord. So instead of offering sacrifices of animals and bulls like other people, he was offering praise. Amen? He was offering worship. Wake up in the morning, you are beautiful beyond description. To marvel Lord for world. Too wonderful for comprehension. Shall we stand? Like nothing ever seen or heard. Who can grasp your infinite wisdom? Who can fathom the depths of God? You are beautiful beyond description. Began to bless the house of Obed-Edom and began to bless all, everything that he had. And the news of him, his testimony began to spread. And David said, let us go and bring back the ark of God after the due order. And David and his team now came and they bore the ark of the Lord and they danced with all their might. And the Lord began to bless the house of Israel. I just want you to worship the Lord for a minute in your own words. Just worship him. Just exalt him. For some of us, it might not be a handwriting on the wall, but some strange things might be happening. And God is trying to catch your attention. God is trying to catch your attention. Just talk to him this morning. He's a God of mercy. He's a God of love. He loves us. But we need to know how to handle his presence. How to reverence him. Because he's God and God alone. High and lifted up. And yet he considers the lowly. Father, we just give you praise this morning. Father, we just give you praise this morning. Father, we just worship you this morning. Father, we just honor you this morning. We yield all into your hands, O God. We yield all into your hands, O God. In any way we have held back, Lord, we're asking that forgive us. Have your way. Have your way in every aspect of our lives. Have your way in our homes. Have your way in the marketplace. Have your way in your church, Lord. Have your way in the lives of our children. In any way we have tried to constrain them or to guide them because of what we want them to be, we release them into your hands, O God, that your will may be established. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. And you're here. Jesus is not on your scale. You are found wanting. You are found wanting, just like Belshazzar. There is no grammar, there is nothing to be said. You are found wanting. But you have that opportunity, even to make that decision this morning. You're here, you're not giving your life to our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Just talk to Him, just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I thank you. Thank you for all you have done for me. Thank you for dying on that cross to save me. Thank you for your precious blood that has been shed to wipe away my sins. I accept you as my Lord and my Savior. From this day forward, be my Lord. Be my Master. Teach me your ways. Teach me your ways. Give me of your mighty Holy Spirit that will guide me on the path to walk so that the scale, the God scale in my life will remain balanced. Thank you for answered prayers this morning. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Praise the Lord.